Greetings in the name of Jesus. Also enjoyed the discussion this morning in relation to persecution. We could have gone a lot longer in that discussion. I agree. You think about, I guess my mind was going in relation to the real meaning of persecution as we understand it in the New Testament. I think sometimes we misunderstand the term or the concept of it, and that's why we probably sometimes feel that we're persecuted when we're actually not. I know of individuals that felt that because a brother came and voiced a concern about something in their life that they were being persecuted, or some criticism that someone had about them and they were being persecuted, or the man in Florida years ago that was in his diligence or enthusiasm to witness stopped a man on the street. He stepped in front of him and he tried to witness to him, and the man tried to get out around him and they ended up getting into a fight, and the man was trying to hold him down so he could witness to him. And then when the police eventually arrived and arrested him, he said he was suffering for the name of Christ. So I think we have to always understand what persecution is. Now, those are extremes, I know. But just think about, in relation to what they, in our Sunday school lesson, what they were told, you do not preach in the name of Jesus. And I think we have to be careful, because I've got into discussions already with people that, you know, can get pretty combative in relation to even doctrine and things like that. Is that really persecution? You have to be careful of that. I think that, you know, in this lesson this morning, you know, they understood to be told that they're wrong to preach in the name of Jesus, wrong to preach the resurrection of the dead, that was persecution. May God help us to always understand those things and how they apply to us in our day. This morning I'd like to look a message from a little different angle. You may turn with me to Joshua chapter 12. This is not, the thoughts that we're going to share are not necessarily new thoughts in the sense of the struggles of the Christian life. I've entitled the message, "The Battle for Victory." We are all in a battle, a spiritual battle, in relation to the conflict between God and the devil. And I would like to just draw from this Old Testament account and notice some principles that apply to us today in relation to the spiritual battles that we are in. Joshua chapter 12, I'm going to begin reading at verse 7 and read down to the end of the chapter. Joshua chapter 12, verse 7. "And these are the kings of the country which Joshua and the children of Israel smote on this side Jordan on the west, from Baal-gad in the valley of Lebanon, even unto the Mount Halak that goeth up to Seir, which Joshua gave unto the tribes of Israel for a possession according to their divisions, in the mountains and in the valleys and in the plains and in the springs and in the wilderness and in the south country, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Canaanites, the Perizzites, and the Havites, and the Jebusites. The king of Jericho won, the king of Ai, which is beside Bethel, won. The king of Jerusalem won, the king of Hebron won, the king of Jarmuth won, the king of Lachish won, the king of Eglon won, the king of Gezer won, the king of Deber won, the king of Geder won, and the king of Horma won, the king of Arad won, the king of Libna won, the king of Adullam won, The king of Makeda won. The king of Bethel won. The king of Tapuah won. The king of Hefer won. And the king of Aphek won. The king of Lasharon won. And the king of Madon won. The king of Hazor won. The king of Shimron-Meron won. And the king of Akshif won. The king of Taanach won. The king of Megiddo won. The king of Kedesh won. The king of Jokneam of Carmel won. The king of Dor won in the coast of Dor. The king of the nations of Gilgal won. The king of Tirzah won. All the kings, 30 and 1. Now, it'd be interesting to know what your thoughts are when you read over a list like that of names. We recognize some of them as more significant in our Bible knowledge than others, like, of course, Jericho or Ai or Jerusalem. Some of those we recognize. Some of these we hardly know very much about, but the list is here. And it's interesting that each one of these kings are named. Some of these were kings of one individual city, and others were kings of several cities, I believe, as I understand it. And so there was kingdoms here. There was a king involved. And these 31 kings are recorded as having been subdued by Joshua and Israel. Now, this passage has some principles, and I would like to look at some of the encouragements as well for us about the battles that we face in life. You know, in these two areas, you know, the conflicts of the battle and the victories of the battle. We battle the flesh and the devil and the forces of darkness. You know, it is a spiritual battle that we are in. We're not going out and taking up arms against other countries or other cities or other places. But we do face a tremendous force of wrong in the world, and with him, as I said, it's the flesh, the devil, and the forces of darkness. The scripture says that we are to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3, that familiar scripture talks about that we are called to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And so the scripture uses military terms in some of these verses to describe for us or to illustrate the spiritual struggle and the battles that we are in. The scripture also tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or earthly like we would read about in this passage. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so there's a spiritual battle that takes place. I would like to think just for now for a few minutes about the conflicts of battle. You know, we read over this account, and it's a list of names. We don't really know a lot about them at all. But there are some principles I'd like to look at. First of all, you know, when you think about these 31 battles that were fought, you know, battles are never easy. Battles are never easy. And that's why I believe this list is recorded, to show the progress and to show the victory of God's people when they were conquering the land of Canaan. And so there was work, there was toil, there was action, there was exhaustion, there was weariness. All those things wrapped up within this list of battles that were fought. Battles are a reality of the Christian life. You know, after these 31 kings, there were more battles to fight. Just notice in chapter 13 and verse 1, it says, "Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed." You know, and that was the message that God had for Joshua and put on the heart of Joshua as he was going to soon be leaving the scenes as leader in Israel. That there was, though they had accomplished a lot, It was not a time to rest on their victories or the history of all the great things they had accomplished, but God's message was that there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. The sad thing, and you could go into the book of Judges, is that when Israel had conquered a lot of these kings and had found a sense of rest and peace in the land of Canaan, they went to their fields, they built their houses, and they settled down. And they did not clear the land out of those heathen nations that God said they were to judge. But in the book of Judges, you have them putting them to tribute. They forced them into slave labor or as servants. And they did not destroy the heathen in the land like God had commanded, which turned around to be a threat to them. You know, and you read through the book of Kings, you know, or the two books of Samuel and the Kings and Chronicles, the constant struggle, you know, with the Amorites and the constant struggle with the Philistines, and how they would come back and forth and they'd steal their crops and they'd smite this, you know, little city out here on the side. And there was this constant struggle. And the reason was that Israel did not follow the Lord in clearing the land the way God had said they were supposed to. And so while these 31 kings represent victories and success, yet they were to look forward to the fact that there was yet very much land to be possessed. You know, and you think about the struggle that we are in, and while we look back and appreciate the victories in our lives, where God has blessed us and we have overcome and we have had victories, and yet to realize today that while those are there and that is good, there is still land to be possessed. We can never stop, you know, in this battle in relation to spiritual life, but there, it's always an uphill battle, a moving forward, and in Christian life we face that. You could just look at the life of Jesus when he was here on earth. You know, and you go from the time when his ministry started up until the time of his betrayal and his trial and his death. You know, how that it was an uphill struggle, as it were, in the opposition that he faced with those who were trying to destroy him and to suppress his teaching. So battles are real. You know, we can read over this list very quickly. And I doubt that I pronounce these names all right, but you read over them. You can read over them fairly quickly, and it's just like a piece of history. You know, it's, you know, we don't even have the dates here, but here's the event, but very little detail. We could look at some of the details. We know the Bible gives us the detail about Jericho. That's an interesting one. So we have a few details about some of these, but in general, you know, it's just a name and a place. But battles are real. Battles are real. And I guess, you know, my burden this morning is that we would remember this and understand this, because our tendency is to kind of sometimes go through life and not realize the intensity of the struggle that we're in, you know, between God and the devil for our own soul, you know, and the significance of the struggles each day of our lives, you know, that we face, that we are remembering that this is a battle for my soul, and we are in this. So battles are real. We cannot just drift along in Christian life. And again, the scripture there from Ephesians 6 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, you know, in heavenly places." And so there's those it's not a literal flesh and blood warfare. That in a sense would almost be easier in a way. But this is a spiritual warfare. It is behind the scenes, and it's possible because so much of the activity is hidden from our eyes that we don't take it as serious as we should. It's not as real to us as we should. Now, you've heard me use the illustration over the years, you know, about, you know, the book of Zechariah there, where you had that picture of Jeshua, the priest there, standing at the altar ready to perform a sacrifice. And what does the prophet there say? Satan was standing on the one side, and the angel of the Lord was standing on the other side. That represents the spiritual warfare that we're in. And how many times, I've often wondered this question, how many times in my life or in your life, in a spiritual struggle, maybe it's just in the struggle of the mind, in temptation, or whatever situation it's in, would it be literally true that there was an angel standing on one side of us and Satan was standing on the other side? The Bible says there, it says Satan was standing there ready to resist him as he was preparing there to offer that sacrifice. And the angel rebuked Satan. You think about that. We don't wrestle flesh and blood, but we're wrestling the spirit world, principalities and powers in heavenly places. God is a spirit. Angels are spirits. The question came up in our Sunday lesson here this morning about the work of angels in the life of the church today. Maybe we don't see it as clearly of somebody being let out of prison or something like that. But I believe that the angelic powers of the heavens are with us, beside us, and ready to rebuke the devil for us if we are sincere of heart, humble and penitent before our God, seeking to serve him. We have that angel power with us. And so this morning, we think about the battles that we deal with in life. Remember, the battle is very real, a lot more real than what we often think of it as. And maybe at times we ought to just stop and visualize of what is actually happening. In our devotional here this morning, was the scripture was shared about, you know, Peter there, when he told the Lord that the Lord wasn't going to be suffering like that. And Peter said, or Jesus said to Peter, you know, get thee behind me, Satan. Did Peter recognize that it was Satan that was standing beside him there, helping those words come out of his mouth? I don't think Peter, it must have been a shock to Peter. He didn't see Satan, but Jesus saw Satan there. He said, and Christ rebuked Satan. How often in our lives, again, in a struggle, in situations when we react wrong or we say the wrong thing or that we have the wrong spirit, is it because we have allowed the words of the devil to come out of our mouth? Battles are real. We cannot just drift along in Christian life. As I said before, our enemy is unseen by the human eye, but nonetheless very real. Well, battles are dangerous. They have the potential to destroy us. There are those who give up in their faith. They turn back. I remember a young man telling me one time, this is many years ago, he said, I've tried this Christian thing. He said, it just doesn't work for me. He said, it's just too hard. He said, I just can't keep going. It's just too hard. And I believe that young man was trying in his own strength to face the battle. But that was his understanding. That was his perception. And the young man did give up. Battles are dangerous. They have the potential to destroy us, cause us to choose wrong and lose our own souls. Israel sometimes lost men in battle when God's power was not with them. You know, it talks about Ai here. The second king in this list was Ai. And this was a list of the victories over these kings. But you know the story of Ai. The first time they went against Ai, it was not victory. What was there, 32 men that lost their lives that day? because God's power was not with them. You remember the story of Achan, you know, and in Joshua chapter 7, back a few chapters, they were sitting in the camp. God's power was not with them. They did not seek his advice, his counsel before entering into that battle. How many times have you and I failed in some spiritual battle because we had that sin in our life, or that we had that agenda? We did not fully surrender and seek the power of God. And then we, as it were, you know, fall on our face in defeat because the presence and the power of God was not with us. Battles are dangerous. Also, the defeat of one can hinder the victory of many. You remember again the story of Ai. Israel was demoralized after that defeat at Ai. You remember how distressed Joshua was as he fell on his face, you know, and thought, you know, that, Lord, I mean, how could this happen that the people, that your people, the men of God would flee from the enemy? They ran away. And really, in that story, God told Joshua, you know, don't just get up off your face. In other words, there's no use praying to me about this because there's sin in the camp. That you're going to have to go and deal with this. So the defeat of one can hinder the victory of many. There was those men of Israel lost their lives that day because of the sin of Achan. I know there's other things involved, and they went against Ai without the blessing of God or the word of God for them, but it all started with one man's sin. That defeat had to be reversed before they could move on to other victories. They had to deal with the sin of Achan, and then later they could go back and deal with the threat of Ai and win in that battle. We need to, again, to be reminded this morning that hidden sin will always cause defeat. Hidden sin will always cause defeat. The story of Achan clearly shows that. Not only in our own lives, but it can cause defeat in the lives of others. And that's a serious thing. Also, another thing we can think about from this passage is that each battle is important. I find it interesting that it doesn't say that, yes, you know, Joshua and Israel, they subdued or they destroyed these 31 kings. But each one is named specifically. You know, and it says, you know, the king of Eglon won and the king of Gezer won. And it just names each one of them. Each battle was important. And each battle for us is important as well. And yes, sometimes we may lose a battle. We may struggle. We may find ourselves in defeat. But then through repentance and humility and finding the forgiveness of God, we get up and we move on again like Israel did. And they went back to Ai with the strength of God with them, and they were not going to be defeated the second time. And we can do the same in our lives. So each battle is important. Each one's listed by himself here. Each battle was a life or death matter, as it were. We may at times fail, but God is never defeated. And I'm glad that Joshua and Israel had the chance to go back and to deal with that defeated Ai and be victorious. And we can do the same in our lives. Battles usually come one at a time. At least for Israel here, it was that way. I know if there's times in my life that I thought there was more than one battle happening. And maybe that's true, but you know, it is really one battle, and that is the battle with the devil who wants to defeat us and destroy us. So it maybe comes from different angles, different places, different times. But the net goal of the devil is to destroy us one way or the other. But here, yes, there was a lot of different details, and we'll maybe look at those a little bit, but you know, some of the different details that were involved in these battles, but they faced them one at a time. And it's interesting that in the New Testament we have the promise that God says that there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Sometimes, maybe it feels like it's more than one, but it's still under the watchful eye of God. It's through his divine sieve, as it were, to make sure that we are not bombarded with more than what we can spiritually handle. You know, in that case like this, it was like one at a time. It was what Israel could handle that day, or that week, or that month. And God has promised, too, that he will not allow more than what we can handle. I'd like to think now some of the principles, just a little further, is the principles for victory. You know, the role that we play in the battle is important. It doesn't talk about the soldiers of Israel that fought in these battles. You know, that would be an interesting to know how, you know, the different soldiers, you know, faced the different challenges in the midst of these particular battles and taking down these cities. There's a lot of details that are not here that would be very interesting to know. But you think about the role that we play in the battle and how important that is. You know, God gave them direction for battle and he promised to go with them, but they had to step out there and move forward and do it. You know, the victory is not going to just happen. It's not going to just drop into our lap. The same as it was here for Israel. There was some, you say, some sweat and labor and initiative on their part to go into these situations and be victorious and fight hard with the power of God with them. They couldn't just sit at home in the camp and expect, you know, there's going to be victory. But God called them to move forward. He gave them direction. As the saying is sometimes referred to, without him, we cannot. And without us, he will not. You know, there's a lot of truth in that. Without him, we cannot. Without us, he will not. It takes that working together with the power of God, you know, and our willingness to move forward in order for there to be victory. And so the role that we play in the battle is important. We cannot afford to assume that someone else will cover for my slackness and my indifference. You know, and we can become a drag on the church or on the brotherhood, you know, when we are not putting our shoulder to the wheel, even in our, you know, our personal lives, but then also collectively as the body of Christ. We can just be a drag on the body because, you know, we're not entering into it with the power and the enthusiasm and with the will to have victory the way we ought to. And so therefore we can affect the strength and the enthusiasm of others. You know, and another thing here in this passage would be that one or many victories do not mean no more battles. You know, and we talked a little bit about this, you know, where Israel got complacent and they had cleared enough of the opposition out of the country, out of the land there of Canaan, that they felt, okay, now we can settle down and we can start, you know, farming and doing things, having business. You know, we got enough space now to do this without finishing the job. And I think sometimes in spiritual defeat in our lives, it is because we maybe have had some victories, and then the devil gets us in complacency and thinking that now we've gained this ground, we've conquered this thing, now I can just coast for a while. You know, and that's sort of where Israel was. And that's why God said there to Joshua, there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Don't stop yet. You're not done yet. You're not home yet. And for us, it's the same way. And so there is the importance of understanding that while there is victories, and we enjoy those victories and are blessed by them, as God has helped us, yet there is more battles. And I know that can sound discouraging, maybe for us this morning, but you know, until we close our eyes in death and our souls are committed to the hand of our Lord in hope of the resurrection, that's when we can rest. That's when the fight is over. That's when we can lay our armor down in victory, in total victory. Until then, we are in the battle. And may God help us to consider that and to make sure that we do not become complacent in any way. We must have the same serious goal for every battle. Victory is the only option besides defeat, we could say. There is no middle ground, because a truce also means defeat. There's never a way for us to make a truce with our old nature. There's never a way that we can make a truce with the devil in relation to the temptations that he will bring to us. That is what Israel tried. Put him into servitude, put him under tribute, and not utterly destroy them like they were supposed to. We can get some money from these people. They can serve us, and they can be our servants and work for us, and pay us instead of us hiring them. And we can do that spiritually too. We're not willing to go the whole way in relation to the surrender and the sacrifice that is needed in our lives. So there's no middle ground. We cannot call a truce with the devil in any way, because that will always mean defeat. We must also be prepared for the unique aspects of the battles we face. There are many different kingdoms, 31 of them here listed, all different. Each battle was a little different. They faced it in different ways. Just think with me a little bit of the different methods that God used to help his people in these battles. You can study into this. This is very interesting. But this list of kings also includes different methods. God used hailstones. God used the angel of death. God directed them to use ambush at times. Other times, they were called to just drive straight in, head on into the conflict and face it that way. God used hornets. God used noise and tremendous loud thunder. And the list could go on. But those are some of the things that God used and helped Israel with in relation to these battles. I suspect that if you were one of those soldiers, you'd wonder, well, what's going to happen next? But God said, this is how you're going to do this one. Well, then we go and do it this way. And by following God's way, there was victory. We must be prepared for the unique aspects of the battles that we face. And sometimes, I know in my life, I've been surprised at where the onslaught came from. For instance, have you ever felt that you've dealt with some area of pride in your life? You were able to crucify that struggle with pride in a certain area, only to feel pretty good about yourself, and you lost your humility. The devil comes back and gets you on pride because you were proud of your humility. You're proud of your victory. See, that's how devious the devil can be in the way he comes at us sometimes. Also remember here in verse 7, remember there is victory in collective strength. I like this thought here. It says, and these are the kings of the country which Joshua and the children of Israel smote on this side Jordan on the west. It was Joshua and the children of Israel. They were together in it. And there's collective strength in relation to temptation and overcoming. And we need to employ the strength of each other for victory as well. And one of the things that we have talked about in the beginning of our congregation, and I think we have grown a lot in this, and I just want to encourage us to continue to grow in this, is that kind of open transparency in relation to our struggles. And how that we understand the power of collective strength in some of the battles that we face. And how that we can say, look, brother or sister, this is my struggle. I'm struggling with this. You know, can you pray for me or can you help me with this? It was Joshua and the children of Israel together that won these battles. Every soldier counted. Let's continue to grow in this and to employ this, the collective strength that God has given us to us for victory. Also in verse 8, we can have victory regardless of the circumstances of the battle. You find this interesting as well. In verse 8, he says, in the mountains and in the valleys and in the plains and in the springs and in the wilderness and in the south. All these different scenarios of battle. You know, and it's interesting, you know, I didn't look this up, so I can't give you the reference. I should have, but it came to my mind right now. But, you know, there where the Philistines one time they said, well, you know, they lost this battle and they were beaten. And they said, oh, it's because this battle was in the mountains, so we're going to go down in the valley and we're going to fight them there. So they next time they went against Israel, there was, as I remember the story, but it's okay, we're going to try this in the valley this time. It must be because they were up there in the mountain we lost. Maybe their God is the God of a mountain. So they went down here in the valley, going to try this. And what happened? They got beaten soundly again. Well, maybe it's in the plains, you know what I mean? And so, but here it's interesting that the scripture points this out. It didn't matter where it was. It didn't matter the terrain, you know, and who had the advantage or the disadvantage, whether mountain or valley or by the springs or on the plains or wherever it was in the wilderness, that didn't matter. When God is with us, you know, regardless of the circumstances of the battle, wherever that temptation comes, wherever that spiritual warfare takes place, there can be victory as long as we are fighting in the will and the strength of God like Israel was. And I just find it interesting how the Philistines just couldn't figure that out. You know, then their God must be a God of the valleys and the mountains. There's a song I think we hear sometimes or sing sometimes that talk about that. He's the God of the valleys. He's the God of the mountains. It doesn't matter where that battle is. When God is with us, there's victory. Also, we can have victory regardless of who the enemy hires to fight for him. If you go back and look at some of these stories, they would get other kings together and bring their armies in, help defend this city. Israel was coming toward them, marching. And they'd hire these other kings and, you know, bring your men, help us, you know, so we can have a confederacy and, you know, and work together and bring our armies together and defeat it. You know, it didn't matter. It just didn't matter. Numbers don't matter to God. You remember there where the host of the Ethiopians came against Judah. There's over 1 million soldiers. That's even pretty large numbers for today. But 1 million soldiers, over 1 million soldiers were coming. And they prayed. And remember what the Lord said? Doesn't matter how many people are in that army. You know, numbers don't matter. You remember there, Elisha, surrounded there in the city. The king that wanted to destroy him, capture him, because he was telling secrets, or he thought he was telling secrets of his military ideas and plans. You remember there when they woke up that morning, his servant was with him, the city was surrounded. His servant said, "Alas, my master, how should we do?" Elisha prayed, "Just Lord, open the eyes of the young man." And he saw the whole mountains around them were full of horses and chariots of fire. It's that simple. When you think about the power of God at work on behalf of his people and how really simple it is for us to be on our knees and implore the God of heaven for his assistance and for his help. And he's promised to help us. All the horses and the chariots of fire of God are there for his people, for us to find victory. And so it doesn't matter who the enemy hires to fight for him. The devil uses a lot of different ways, a lot of different people, in a lot of different situations to try to accomplish his purposes against God's people. Victory always encourages victory. Victory does not thrive on defeat. You think about the song we sing sometimes. The phrase in that song is, "Each victory will help you another to win." You know, as you think about the victory here for Israel, and as they realized there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed, they could look back and say, you know what, God helped us with these 31 kings. You know, he's going to help us again. You know, and so there was that, the victory encourages victory. And so it is true in our lives today. I think it is good sometimes in, you know, to give testimony to what God has done. You know, and we have had victory and God has blessed us, you know, to be able to share that in a right way for the encouragement of each other. Also, ultimate victory is always possible. Notice, maybe it's a play of words, but the verse 24, this last verse of chapter 12, you get to the 31st king, the king of Tirzah, says one, the king of Tirzah won. Then it says all the kings, 30 and 1. All the kings, all 31 kings were defeated. Ultimate victory is always possible, and that's God's desire for us in the spiritual warfare that we are in. There needed to be also, lastly, a clear understanding of who the enemy was. You know, they're named here. It's the king of Jericho and the king of Ai, and you go down the list. They knew who they were fighting. It's important for us today to know who we are fighting, who the enemy is. These kings were named. They knew who they were against. But to me, one of the saddest things among Christendom today is when we lose sight of who our enemy is and we start fighting each other. You've read stories, possibly, of military situations where a soldier goes rogue and turns on his own comrades. Isn't that terrible? When you're trained to be loyal to each other, to fight with each other, to work with each other, to have the common purpose with each other, and face a common enemy together, to have someone turn and start fighting his own comrades. They knew who they were fighting. And brothers and sisters, we need to know who our enemy is. If we lose sight of that, we're going to start attacking each other. And we start attacking each other, we all will lose in one way or another. Someone has said there are three types of soldiers. Compromisers, who rationalize position rather than take a definite stand. Quitters, who can't take the heat of battle. Paul, I think, with probably tears in his eyes, wrote there and said, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed to Thessalonica." Quitters. They can't take the heat of battle. They turn back. And thirdly, the faithful, where no assignment is too tough and no battle is too fearful, because our eyes are on Jesus. He has already fought the battle in the sense of victory. I believe it was Bob Jones was the one that made this statement one time. He said, the Christian does not fight for victory. The Christian fights in victory. Jesus Christ accomplished the defeat of the devil on Calvary there and in the resurrection. There's no doubt. There should be no doubt in any of our minds whether we can successfully face these battles that come to us in our lives and be faithful to the end. It has to do with us. Because Christ won that victory. We fight in victory. We don't fight for victory. Now, I know you can say it's a play of words, because it feels like to us that we're fighting for victory in relation to ourselves. But we have all the power of heaven at our disposal to be victorious soldiers. We don't really need to fail in any battle. And if we do, it's because we have not employed the power of Christ. Thank God we can repent and find His forgiveness when we realize that. And so this morning, let's be faithful. What kind of soldier are you, or am I, in the spiritual battles of life today? It'd be interesting. We're not going to take the time. It'd be interesting across our congregation if each of us could just, you know, would just name, you know, this has been my struggle this last week. This is what I've been dealing with, you know, and struggling. I'm sure there'd be a lot of different battles that are being faced. But let's be strong. Let's realize the power of heaven that is available to us for victory today. Let's not allow weariness or discouragement in the battle of today to rob us of our strength, but to move forward with purpose. As we say sometimes, not in pride, but to hold our heads high, not because of who we are, but because of the captain we serve. Jesus Christ, as we say sometimes, has never lost the battle, and He never will. Are we this morning in the army of the Lord? Do we have that strength and that purpose to move forward? A little saying in closing. It matters not how deep entrenched the wrong, how hard the battle goes, the day how long. Faint not, fight on. Tomorrow comes the song. Let's kneel to pray. Father, we thank You for Your blessings of victory and strength that You give to us as we, Father, surrender our wills to be in Your army in the spiritual battles that come to us. And Father, this morning You know each of our hearts. You know what we are struggling with. You know the areas of spiritual warfare, the spiritual struggles that are happening. And Father, we just plead for Your strength and mercy for each situation in each of our lives. Father, where we have fallen in defeat, we pray that we might quickly realize our need for forgiveness and repentance and move on again. Take up the sword of the Word of God that You've given to us to continue in this battle. Father, we also pray for those who we know in our as friends or even part of our own families that have surrendered. They have given up. They've allowed the enemy to defeat them. Father, we plead for them that they would find repentance and return and again take up their armor and the dying to self and the surrender to Your Lordship, so they again can be a true soldier for You. We pray this morning for those who have never entered this battle but are content to be in defeat and to be even a part of the battle of opposition to the people of God. We plead for them that they might realize their situation and, Father, find your mercy and grace. And so, Father, again this morning, as we've looked at a little history here of some of these kings and the victory that Israel had, we just pray that it may be an encouragement to us, that each of us would continue strong in facing these realities by your power and grace. We ask in the name of Christ. Amen.